Hey everybody, Alex and Greg with you here with you for this part four of our Piffles podcast episode 100 celebration. We figured 100 episodes is pretty awesome for us, but we do the show for you and we figured a great way to celebrate the milestone would be to go back in time and remember the Riders Grey Cup victories. We've already looked at 1966, 1989, 2007. Now it's time to look at 2013. And our guest for that is none other than the most outstanding Canadian player of that game, Mr. Chris Getzlaff. Chris, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, 2013 was such a special year for the fans, obviously, not only just winning the Grey Cup, but winning it at home at Taylor Field. Before we get to the big game itself, take us back to the start of the season. Training camp, all the vets were brought in to really put this team over. What was the message from Brendan Tamman and Corey Chamberlain about the season?
I mean, I think Brendan Tamman, prior to the season even starting, with the people that he brought in, I think he was making a statement like, we're making a run this year, and I'm going to make sure that you guys have the personnel in order to do so. So, at that moment, from that moment on, I think it was, Chame taking responsibility, like, I need to put together a championship run here with these group of guys because the talent level is off the charts. So, I mean, the message in training camp was simple. I mean, everyone put their nose to work and just make sure that you're grinding away each and every day, and we're going to work together through the good times and the bad and come out on top of this thing.
And speaking of that, the season was not without some ups and downs. You guys started 8-1, lost four straight with Koroshita in the lineup, finished at 11-7. During that little losing skid, what was the vibe in the locker room like? Was it still upbeat, or was there some stuff going behind the doors that the fans don't know about?
I mean, obviously you got some outside negative attention being put on the team, both how we were playing on the field and then some off-field issues. So I think that everyone in the locker room had full confidence in the talent that we had and the capability we had to win games and win it all, for that matter. And, when we were able to go through that four-game skid, stick together as a team and really say, like, we got to ignore these outside distractions and focus on winning and just stick together through it. And everyone did a great job of doing that and staying focused.
So you host the West Final against BC, and to most people, that was Darian Durant's coming out party, the game that truly defined his career. Take us back to that game and just share your thoughts on that night in the West semifinal.
Yeah, well, that one was definitely tough on me because I wasn't able to play in that game due to an MCL sprain, but sitting on the sideline, it was a pretty cool night for that time of the year. And, we knew going in that it was going to be a tight battle. I mean, BC had a good football team. And, at no point in time, even though we were down in the game, did anyone lose confidence that our leader, Darian Durant, wasn't going to be able to pull out a win for us. He just kind of put everyone on his back when he started to use his legs there in the second half especially, and he just took over, so obviously the defense also played well, but when Durant really took over with his legs, I think that changed the momentum in the game.
Now the West Final, you go into Calgary, you lay the boots to the Stamps, 35-13, Sheets has 177 yards, Dressler has a big game, and no surprise, you being the Stamp killer, have a touchdown. Talk about that game and about knowing that if you won that game, you get home field at the Grey Cup next week.
Yeah, so a number of us, throughout the course of our career had played a lot of big games against Calgary. And whether it be regular season or in the playoffs, we knew that we had the confidence to beat them, especially when it really counted. And that was obviously in the playoffs. So, we lost one of our last regular season games that year. We lost in Calgary. And I think that everyone in the locker room really looked at each other. No one hung their head or anything. It was kind of looking around and being like, we're going to be back here and we're going to beat them on their home field. And I mean, come that day, obviously we had a lot of bounces that went our way during that game, especially in the turnover department. But I mean, that's the name of the game, is being able to come out on top when you get those opportunities. And, we were able to lay it to them pretty hard.
Did you happen to watch the East Final before the game? Like, was the team looking ahead at all, even just a little bit?
Not really. I mean, you catch a couple glimpses of it because it would be on kind of in the back of, background, I suppose. Wouldn't be really be going on actually in the locker room, but if you were to venture your way outside of that into like the trainer room or something, you know, you could catch a few glimpses of the game. So, you know, myself, I saw a little bit, but not a lot of people would have been paying any attention to that.
So the trip back to Regina for the West final, being a Regina boy, what was the mood like? How were you feeling?
I mean, everyone's on top of it. You know, it's hard. It's really hard to come out of the West. There's a lot of good football teams. And when you got to go on the road in order to win that game to go to the Grey Cup, you know, it's especially challenging. So for us to be able to knock them off and be able to come home with the chance to play in front of our home fans for the ship is, there's not a lot of feeling like it. I'd say the only one that trumps it is actually pulling it through in the end.
So Grey Cup week, did you or any of the guys go out and enjoy did you guys go out and enjoy any of the festivities at all, or just kind of check out what was going on?
I didn't personally not be able to check. I mean, you're so busy during Grey Cup week as is, between obviously your regular practices, your meetings, media availability, and then the awards night. So there's enough going on within the week just focused on football, rather than the, you know, outside activities that would be going on. So, I mean, I didn't really get a chance to partake in much. I'm sure a few guys took in a couple things, but we were a pretty focused group when it came to that, grinding through very cold weather when it came to practicing outdoors. I mean, the whole week, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty rough on the weather side of things come game day.
Going into the game, was there a lot of chatter in the locker room about 2009 and this game being a redemption for that? And after the win, was there a sense of relief that, hey, the curse was reversed?
No, there wasn't talk whatsoever about 2009. You know, that's something that it was in the past. Will the people involved ever forget? Heck no. But that's not what you need to focus on when you're trying to win a championship. You don't focus on the past, you focus on the present. So everyone was just right in tune right from the get-go. And when we made the decision to come out as a team rather to be announced individually, I mean, I think it just really set the tone for the game.
Now, how much prep went into the Grey Cup game itself? Practice, film work, extra sessions with the team?
I mean, you got your regular week. You know, you're putting together the game plan and installing it on day one and day two, and kind of finalizing it on day three. And, you know, I think that everybody may have put in, you know, an extra half hour, hour of film on the opponent during the week, kind of on their own. But, you know, when it comes to football, there's a lot of routine involved. You know, everyone has their way of preparing and their way of understanding the playbook and making sure that they're ready to execute come game day. And you don't really fade away from that very much. So, like I said, maybe a few extra minutes, few extra hours in the studying the opponent. But outside of that, you know, it's just a regular week.
Speaking of routine, the game day itself, was it a normal, typical football day? What were you feeling when you woke up? And what about on the way to the stadium? Was the intensity picking up?
For me, I'm not a big nerves guy when it came to football and game day or anything involving football in that matter. So it kind of felt like just a regular game day to me. I think the biggest uplifting surprise was how nice the actual weather was for that game compared to what we were dealing with all week long. So, you know, that was a nice surprise when you're on your way to the field and the weather is what it is as compared to what it had been.
Now, speaking of the weather here, it was minus 30 all week. We get a one-day Chinook in Regina, and game day itself, super nice. You have 99% of the crowd there with you cheering on the Riders. Was it almost as if the stars aligned for the Riders that day?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, for the majority of the season, I would say, you know, we were able to make it through the year relatively healthy. I mean, everyone's got to deal with an injury here or there, but for the most part, we were able to stay pretty healthy, which is crucial to winning games and championships. And then, you know, how everything came out after the four-game losing streak and us sticking together and making sure that everyone stayed focused and having the confidence that we did have the team to do this, walking into Calgary and coming out, and then to practicing outside. I mean, we had good practices outside all week long, even though it was that cold. So everyone was really prepared for the game. And, you know, it really aligned on game day. I think for everyone involved, including the fans, to be able to come and experience a game like that under the conditions that we were dealt in the end there.
Now, the fumble. Darian Durant gets hit. The ball goes straight up in the air for what seemed like minutes to us in the stands, even though it was less than a second. Did you even see the ball go up in the air?
No, I didn't really see it go up in the air. I mean, obviously, I was in the middle of a play, right? So I was involved with blocking at the time. But it happened pretty darn fast, even when you watch it on film. Like, it might seem like it was up in the air for a long time, but all of a sudden it's up in the air, and then it's in Sheet's hands, and he's off to the races with it. So, you know, those are some of the bounces that you need in order to put it all together. I mean, I think that really gave us momentum right early in the game. Obviously, the final score would dictate that that wasn't essential in the game, but I would say that it was a big momentum shift really early on.
Now, when you realized what actually happened there, what was the first thing that went through your mind, and what was your reaction after?
First thing that went through my mind was, heck of a play, Sheets. Looks like we're in the red zone. We're close enough anyway, right? So, you know, the offense stays on the field. That's the big thing. So, yeah, I mean, someone's got to be Johnny on the spot when a fumble occurs, and when you're following the play and being engaged, you know, you get rewarded for that, and Sheets was right there in order to pick it up.
To rewind back to the beginning of the game there, Ty Cats all get introduced individually, and Rod Smith started to introduce you guys individually. Xavier Fulton's name was announced, and you guys all come rushing out. Take us through that, and obviously we know it's bring them out, but what was the thought behind it?
I mean, before the game, we just kind of made a decision as a team that, you know, we hadn't been announced individually all year long. It was always a team thing, and we just wanted to keep with that. It wasn't to take away anything away from tradition or anything like that. It was more so what we felt at the time, that we're going to do this as a team. And so we wanted to be introduced that way, so that's why we rushed the field the way we did.
So we all know how the game goes, domination in front of Rider Nation. When did you know that the game was done?
I mean, you never really know until the final whistle, but at the same time, you know, you got 5 minutes to go in the game, and you got that healthy of a lead. You know, the things would have to go awfully bad in order for that to change. So I think that there was some confidence there as we were approaching the final whistle, but with a good 5 minutes to go, you know, it's like I said, something catastrophic would have to go on in order for us to lose that game.
Does anything else from that game stand out to you at all now that you look back at it?
I mean, there's several things that stand out. I mean, the way our defense played in order to force a turnover too, and you know, G-Roy obviously stepping up when the big game, when it really mattered, right? You know, he hadn't done a lot statistic-wise anyways prior to that game. And, you know, he was a leader the whole year within the locker room. And, you know, there's just something about him that obviously he was going to show up when it really, really counted. And, you know, couldn't have done it in much a bigger way than to score a couple touchdowns in the Grey Cup. So, I mean, our running game, you know, the O-line, can't say enough about the O-line when you're able to pound the ball like that over and over and over for an entire game, and for Sheets to put up those kind of yards. You know, that's a real testament to how the O-line played and how Sheets played individually.
Now, you just mentioned G-Roy, Simon. Big story about that, or looking back, is how he helped Darian become a champion. But you were with him in the film room with all the receivers. What kind of influence did G-Roy Simon have on you?
I mean, you know, he's just got that much more experience than everyone at the time, right? So, obviously, I'd been in the league for several years, played against him for quite a few of those years, and having him in the locker room, you know, he brought confidence instantly. You know, when people were hanging their head over, you know, one of the losses within the 4-game losing streak we were going through, you know, he's the first guy to say, like, look, we're 4 games above 500 or 3 games above 500. Like, this is not the end of the world. This is a loss. This happens in football. Like, we have a good team here. And, you know, he was just that guy that had little tidbits of information. And I think that a lot of people took advantage of that and really listened to what he had to say in the film room.
So the final whistle goes off. You win the Grey Cup at home. Who's the first person you went to celebrate with? And take us through that post-game field stuff. Did you actually have time to totally sink it in?
I mean, it definitely takes a minute. I mean, the first person I sought out was my wife. You know, I was able to get her down onto the field right away, and then I saw my parents. But, you know, those are the first people that you want to celebrate with, because they've been with you through thick and thin, by your side while you're grinding that out. And then, you know, obviously it's teammates is the big thing. You know, you play for years. Some of the guys in the locker room I played with for years, and we had waited for that day. We'd gone through, you know, back-to-back Grey Cup losses in 09 and 10, and to be able to do it on home soil with a bunch of those guys that were still on the team is extra special. So it seems like it takes forever for you to get to that point, especially when you're going through media and all that stuff. It takes a while. Seems like it takes forever to get to the locker room and to really celebrate that with the guys.
Now, you personally, you win the Most Outstanding Canadian Player of the Game. What did that award mean to you?
I mean, I just kind of viewed it as a team award. You know, you can't really get an award like that without you know, the offensive line playing the way they did, and without Darian playing the way he did. So, you know, it was only a few catches that led to it. You know, it feels amazing to be able to finish the game, and, you know, to have your name announced in that manner on the biggest stage. It's a great feeling.
So we were obviously in the stands, then on Albert Street with the rest of the province. But what was it like in the locker room?
The locker room was it was a celebration, you know, champagne and cigars and just a lot of hugs and, you know, reminiscing on times that weren't as good and making that one feel that much better.
How long after the game did you stay at the stadium?
I was there for a couple hours after the game. Like I said, I didn't get to go in the locker room until there was, you know, at least 20 minutes of celebrating going on because of media. So, you know, I took advantage of that, and there's a, you know, quite a few guys that are just going to stick around and really soak that in, which you got to do. So I was there for a couple hours.
Where did you go when you left the stadium? Did you go out and party on the town?
Didn't make it out on the town all that much. I mean, stopped at home and changed and whatnot. And then we had a celebration set up at the Center of the Arts. So we went to a team function where everyone could bring some friends and family and just have a big gathering there. So that's pretty much how that went. Was a little too beat by the time that was all done to head out on the town anymore. So it's a long day. It's a really long day.
So the next morning, what was that like? Was it surreal? Was there more party planning?
You know, it's just more so soak it in, you know. I mean, say the whole next week when, you know, you're arranging like the parade and whatnot, that's kind of just soaking it all in, you know. It's a, you take 6 months to get there. Well, plus if you include the off season, obviously training and getting ready for the season, but it's a lot of time, a lot of dedication that goes into winning. And when you're able to do it, you got to make sure that you take each moment and soak it in.
We as fans certainly agree that winning the game at home in 2013 didn't really erase the demons of 2009, but certainly made the pain go away. Do you feel it was that way for you? And especially after like 2009, 2010, you lose two and now you win the big one at home.
I mean, I look at all of them as separate. You know, the one thing about playing sports in general, whether it's right or wrong, probably wrong. I mean, you tend to focus on the losses more than you do on the victories. And so, you know, 2009's, you know, it's always going to have a sour feel to it just with how it finished. And now losing in 2010, yeah, it sucks. But when you look back on it and feel like, okay, we got outplayed. I mean, that's the way it is, right? So by all means, could we have won that game? Yeah, it was a tight game. But I felt like Montreal played good enough to beat us then. And that's not to take anything away from them in 2009. I think that it was more of a meltdown on our part, giving up 17 points in the span of 7 minutes in order to lose that game.
Now, the 2013 Grey Cup, the biggest game in Rider history. Looking back now, what does it mean to you to you know, play in that game?
I mean, it means the world. You know, I do have 2 Grey Cup rings, but I'm only on the Grey Cup once. My name's only written on there once, and that's in 2013. And it just happened to be at home while I was playing for the team I've been growing up for. So it was just extra special to be able to play in front of Rider Nation, play in front of a tons of friends and family with me being from Regina, and being able to come out on top. So it's really special.
Well, Chris, thank you for your time talking with us here on the Pivots Podcast, episode 100, about the 2013 Grey Cup. We thank you for that and everything you've done for this team during your career. Enjoy your post-football career.
Thanks so much.